Good morning again, Central. You can be seated this morning. If you're watching us online today, we're so glad you're joining us for our 9:30 service. God bless you wherever you are today. Let me just say this, that when Jesus and the apostles talked about baptism, it was a command. It wasn't a suggestion. It wasn't like, hey, you know, if you feel like it, it might be a good idea. You know, if it fits into your schedule, go ahead and be water baptized. They didn't approach it that way. They said, repent. That was a command. Turn from your sin. And as a sign of that repentance, publicly declare your loyalty to Jesus. And that's what water baptism is. And so if you've come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and since that point you've not been water baptized, we strongly encourage you to do that. And on August 25th, we're going to be having our next baptism service right here at 4 p.m. And if you've never experienced that time of publicly declaring your faith in Christ through water baptism, I can't urge you strongly enough to do that. This is what happens when we do our water baptism services. This event tonight really isn't about us. It's about what Jesus Christ has done in their lives. It's a huge night for parents. If you're the parent of someone that's being baptized tonight, your kids, there's going to be a lot of milestones in their life, but nothing like standing up publicly and saying, I'm committing my life to Jesus Christ. It's a big night for those of you that have had spiritual influence. It's a big night for you because you're seeing the fruit of your investment in somebody's life. When there's something powerful and significant in the spiritual realm when we declare publicly our love and allegiance to Jesus Christ.
Almost 3 years ago, I lost my dad. It was a really deep and painful loss. One of the only comforts I found through losing him was faith and knowing that I would see him again one day. Through my super deep loss, I found super deep faith. I found Christ. I feel closer to my dad because of him. So today I'm surrendering to that deep voice and taking the next step.
Last November changed my life forever. 20 minutes from dying, my doctor telling my family he has never seen anyone survive how bad I was. With family and friends praying for me, God showed a miracle. I'm standing here today to rededicate my life to God.
Because I want to show others that I love Jesus and want to be more like him every day.
And I am committed to release all my fears, all my failures, and all my worries to run this race with him for life.
Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans for you, declares God. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you, but plans to give you hope and a future. This is God saying that he will take my life and give me a great future.
Today I open my everything to the Lord and grant him full control.
Being a competitor and coach, I love to win. I want to win as a husband, father, son, and educator. But most importantly, I want to win in my relationship with God. I'm being baptized today to publicly declare my love for Jesus Christ.
Yeah, you could clap for that. I'll give you permission to clap for that one. Okay, so if you've never been water baptized, we're going to make it really easy. Just take out your phone and you need to text Central Baptism to 555-888. Central Baptism to 555-888. You will get a response and we will connect you with a class or with a pastor to set that up for you. If you don't text, in your bulletin this morning on that communication card, there's a section that says, I want to be water baptized. You can just check that box and put that in the offering on the way out this morning when you leave. I can't encourage you enough to be water baptized and follow Christ in obedience to that call. Okay, so once a year, we take an entire weekend and we celebrate the amazing things that God has done in the last 12 months, and that's this weekend. And everything we do here at Central is centered around our mission statement, which is this: connecting people to a life that counts for eternity by building disciples who go and change lives. Everything we do here at Central centers around connecting people to Christ, connecting them to the church, building them up in their faith so they can go and change lives. And what you're going to hear about today, you're going to hear some video testimonies of changed lives, stories of how Christ came into a life or into a marriage or into a situation and family and completely transformed it. And I want you to know that these are our stories as a church family. You have participated in this in some way, whether it's your financial giving, whether it's your prayer, whether it's your service here at Central. You are sharing in the fruit of everything that we're seeing happen today. Now, when you came in this morning, you got this infographic, and there's a lot of incredible statistics and numbers and things that indicate growth that God has done. And we're super excited about that. And the growth that God is bringing, both numerical and spiritual, is something that God is trusting us with. And that's humbling. It's humbling to know that God continues to trust us with people, more and more people. That's really humbling. As we begin today, I want to make sure we put the praise in the right place. How many of you know this is not us just working really hard to make sure life change happens? This is God working, amen? So would you stand with me this morning? I wanted us to just begin with a prayer together by reading out loud a couple of scriptures in the form of a prayer to put this in perspective for us. Would you read this with me? Lord, we confess today that every good gift comes from you. Pride brings a person low, but the lowly in spirit gain honor. As your chosen people, holy and dearly loved, we clothe ourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Thank you for all you've done. Amen and amen. You can be seated this morning. As you're seated, I'm going to introduce to you our new executive pastor. New, it's been seven months. You're old now around here, man. Tom. But if you don't know Tom Rich and his wife, Rebecca, he is our executive pastor, came on around November doing an absolutely amazing job here at Central. And God has been good to our church. And through the faithful giving of our congregation, once again, we've surpassed our budget financially, which is a good thing. That means that we've spent less than we brought in. And because of that, not only can we do great things outside the church, but we can staff this church appropriately. Tom, tell us a little bit about our staffing situation.
Yeah, one of the greatest privileges of my life is to lead and serve amongst a staff team of about 35 who bring their hard work, creativity, and dedication to the workplace each and every day. And so they have such deep desires to see Jesus and his kingdom grow all throughout Sioux Falls and into our community. But not only are they talented, they want to live out Ephesians 4:12, which is to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. And so they love coming alongside you guys and seeing your gifts emerge so that you can be a blessing into your oikos as well.
Yeah. So great staff. Yeah. We had a challenge with staffing this year. We lost our downtown pastor, campus pastor, Zach Ochoga, and that had a rough effect on that ministry down there. Tell us a little bit about that situation.
Yeah, one of the things that was most attractive to me when I was interviewing for Central was seeing the strategic initiative to reach the Pettigrew Heights neighborhood. And so a couple months into it, neither of us had a clue that we were going to see a staff transition in such a pivotal role. And so just to be honest and frank with you guys, that ministry has suffered a little bit. Attendance has shrunk. We've had to pull back a little of our missional fervor that we had planned on having this year. But what we have seen in the midst of this transition, as we've seen, have resolve, not only from the volunteers that have stayed there, but also resolve around our elders, mm-hmm. committed to this calling that God has given us to have a spiritual influence on that area. Yep. And so I'm excited about this next year because we are going to be launching into the second year of our downtown preschool, and you guys are going to get to meet our amazing preschool director there, and so excited about that. And then also, this is as honest as I can be, we covet your prayers. We're deep in the search for the next campus pastor there, and we're praying that the Lord would bless the search team that I'm leading with wisdom and insight so that we bring the right person to fill this critical position for us.
Yeah, amen. Thanks for that. Hey, how many of you have been here longer than me? I'm in my 9th year. You've been at Central 9 years or longer. Raise your hand so I can see. A lot of you. Okay. So, Tom, you're kind of a newbie here, yeah. But the 136 years old, and part of our tradition has been not only giving generously for the work of ministry on our campus, but giving beyond that to see God's kingdom established in our community and even globally. Are we continuing with that tradition?
Yeah, absolutely. And coming in here, I've been absolutely just amazed at the spirit of generosity that's in this church. And not only for the discipline of generosity, but what it shows is your faith in God and belief in the mission He's given Central to fund it fully and strongly. And so what you'll see on this pie chart that's going to be on your screen behind me is that of the $3.4 million of expenses that we incurred this past year, 19.6% of each of those dollars have went to go fund an initiative, a strategic missional initiative outside the walls of this church. And so that's $669,000 being used actively to reach out to see the cause of Christ come and move. And beyond that, through our benevolent giving that you guys give once a month, we've been able to bless families both within our church and outside of our church to the tune of $92,000. So thank you. Absolutely. Thank you. Your giving is changing lives and propelling the mission that God has given Central Church forward. We've got big things ahead of us.
Yeah. I don't know if you've seen this yet, Tom. Oh, your department put it together. Yay, that's right. You probably have seen. What jumps out at you when you look at the numbers on this infographic?
Yeah. And so I think we've all experienced the uptick of attendance that we've had over the past year. And we're just super grateful for you guys moving with us into this four service change. What you've done is allowed to create a more welcoming environment for new folks to come in. And so what we have recorded is 830 folks have come to our services over this past year. And that's just an awesome opportunity either to connect them to Jesus or to deepen their faith in a real way.
Which means people are inviting their oikos.
That's right.
If over 800 people, new people are coming.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's amazing. And beyond that, what we also see within this kind of oikos small group structure is that we had 530 some odd folks, I believe, participate in the life group. Now, my big hope and challenge for this next year is that we would see that number double. And so this fall, we're launching a strategic initiative to do this a new small group curriculum called FORM that Neil Downing's put together. That's amazing. And my hope and prayer is that each and every one of you would participate in this small group fair because it's going to be amazing. And my wife and I are going to launch a small group on Sundays on the west side. So if you need a space, you can come to our house. But we'd love for you to participate in that. Yep. God's doing amazing things here.
Awesome. Thanks, Tom.
All right, buddy. Appreciate it, man.
Yep.
Transition time. Boom, boom, boom.
Raise your hand if you've heard me use the word oikos. You've ever heard that word oikos? It's not just yogurt. There's more to it than that. Oikos is a Greek word that's found in the New Testament. When it's translated into our English Bibles, it means house, household, or family. In our context, it has to do with our relational world. It has to do with the 8 to 15 or more people that God strategically puts in our lives relationally to reach for Christ. And so we all have an oikos, and so Nathan and Jesse are part of the team here at Central that are helping us reach beyond the four walls of Central Church to reach our oikos. So Nathan, how are we doing with impacting the world?
Well, we're doing a lot. If you pay attention at all to announcements and e-formation, all those kind of things, you'll see there's tons of opportunities here at Central. One of our big initiatives and one of the opportunities I got to participate in a few weeks ago is our Ethiopia initiative. 2 weeks into my term here at Central, y'all sent me off to a foreign country, and so that was neat. I hadn't even learned all the staff's name yet. But I went over to Africa, which was a little scary for me, but Adams Thermal Foundation, who we partner with there, does a great job of hosting us. And one of the first things that we experienced, and probably the coolest thing that we experienced, was walking into the Otoro School. As we walked into that school, there were hundreds of students and teachers singing and dancing as they led us into the facility, and the ground literally shook. It was amazing to see their joy as they talked about the new high school campus that they're going to be getting there and Central's part in that. Another thing that I got to do while I was there was see some of the self-help groups. There are 60-plus self-help groups that Adams Thermal Foundation has planted, and the point of those groups is to help lift those families, the families of the students, out of poverty and to see them thrive. Mm-hmm. And then the last thing that we got to do, which was really unique and really special, was go to the very first high school graduation at the Hosanna campus.
Yeah.
52 students, you can see them there, 52 students got their high school diploma, and every single one of those 52 students are going on with a full ride to university.
Yeah.
And so we are seeing student by student lives change there in Ethiopia.
Yeah.
But it's not just about Ethiopia. A lot of stuff goes on right here in Sioux Falls. And when I think about Sioux Falls outreach, two things that come to mind are the daddy-daughter dance and the Mother's Day brunch in Pettigrew Heights. This last year at the daddy-daughter dance, as some of you probably went, there were 774 dads and daughters in our building. And that event takes a lot of help. We had 95 volunteers, including the Augie football team and the Augie soccer team. We also had a lot of our senior ladies stuffing bags full of popcorn for those
children.
Okay,
you know it's a big event if it takes the Augie football team and the Augie soccer
team. It's all hands on deck
for
the daddy-daughter dance.
Yeah.
But the greatest thing about that event, and the coolest thing, if you've been, you know this, is to see those dads get down on a knee and hold their daughter's hand, look them in the face, and make promises to them, promises to lead them to Christ and to lead them in a Christian home.
Yeah.
Another great event, as I mentioned, is the Mother's Day brunch in Pettigrew Heights. And Tasha was one of the moms that went to that event, and she was telling me just how special it is and what a great thing it is that Central does to get these moms together and to give them a place where they can share each other's burdens, where they can share stories about what it's like to be a mom there in that neighborhood. Tasha was new to the neighborhood and didn't have any friends, and now she's made some real strong relationships because of what Central Church has done. She also wanted me to tell you this morning, and I promised her I would, she wanted to say thank you. Thank you for the high V cards. Thank you for the gift baskets and the prizes that were donated. It really showed the genuine love and care that Central has for the neighborhood.
Yeah. Think about that. 52 students with a Christian education going into university. We're changing a nation one student at a time, and your giving contributes to that. Thank you for that. Jesse. In partnership with the Hope Coalition, we launched last year a preschool in our downtown campus in the Pettigrew Heights area. And initially, the goal was not just to educate preschool-age students that probably couldn't afford that kind of education, but it was to reach into the families and provide some kind of holistic help. How'd we do with that?
Yeah, it was a good year. We just finished our first year of preschool. We had 25 kids in the program, and they did things that preschoolers do. I mean, they learned colors. They wrote their name. They sang songs. We went on a lot of field trips and had a lot of guest speakers and visitors at our school. We just thought it was really important to broaden their worldview and provide experiences for them that they wouldn't normally have. But like Jeff said, our goal was to make it more holistic and to really reach families and not just students. And so as a result of these kids being in preschool, we were able to meet their families and build relationships with them. For example, we had three women living in the homeless shelter, and so we walked with them and connected with them with various agencies and people in our community to get them into homes. And that's messy. And sometimes it took a second apartment and a third apartment. But we just continued to walk with them and love on them through that process. We had another mom that called. She was so excited. She had a job interview, but she didn't have any clean clothes. And so we went over to the laundromat for a couple hours and washed her clothes. And I got to hear her story and talk her through the interview process and pray with her before she took that next big step.
Yep.
Simple things like a grandma going through chemo so we could keep her granddaughter longer at school and drop off a bag of groceries on the way home. Another student that desperately needed a dental surgery, and so through really generous people in our community, that was done, and that child received the care that he needed. And so through this little vehicle of preschool, we were able to love families and build relationships with families and provide resources for families and hope that as a result they saw Jesus and got to know the love of Jesus through that.
Yeah. Okay, so I kept hearing about all these after-hour things you were involved with, and I'm thinking, she's not going to stay. We're going to lose her. But you stayed, and I think you're staying next year, and we're excited about that. What are you envisioning for the next 12 months?
My husband always says, this is a preschool job. This is what we do. So we have 30 kids signed up that wouldn't otherwise be going to preschool, so this is really exciting for them and their start to education, and we know that as a result, more opportunities are coming our way. Our big dream and goal this year is to really connect with our downtown campus and get these families connected spiritually, and so that they have a spiritual home and that they learn about Jesus and develop a relationship with Jesus just because their child is in preschool. And so we're excited for the opportunities that are ahead of us. That we ask for prayers. We know there's going to be all sorts of things going on, crisis, and just other opportunities to continue to love on people downtown in Sioux Falls. So thank you.
Yeah. Family, as you give to the church, you're giving to this ministry, you're changing the lives of children and their families in the Pettigrew Heights area. So thank you for your giving. Nathan, one of the ways that we measure our success in terms of Oikos and reaching people is through water baptism. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, as you can see on that info card that we gave you, we had 103 baptisms last year.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And that number is more than just a number. Sometimes I like to think about the numbers behind the numbers. That means there's 103 individuals, obviously, whose lives are changed forever because of Christ Jesus. But it also means there's 103 families that are changed.
Right.
It means there are 103 friend groups that are changed and 103 workplaces.
Right.
And so we praise God for all the ways that he's moving and working through Central Church. We're actually going to see a video now about one of those families and how Christ has impacted their life.
I grew up in Wisconsin for most of my younger years. Went to church, you know, handful of times a year. You know, I'd consider myself a Christer. We did a little bit of Christmas, we did a little bit of Easter, and a little bit in between. Upon graduating college at Indiana State University, I moved to Rochester, Minnesota to teach at the Rochester Athletic Club. I met my wife there, worked there for 8 years. We had a couple kids while we were there. Had a little bit of faith, went to church a little bit, but nothing real. It wasn't a main part of my life personally. It was a little more a part of my wife was more serious with that component. After being there 8 years, we moved to Rapid City, South Dakota, and that's when my wife got really quite serious with church, going to church and being a part of Bible study, different things like that. I was still a little on the outskirts. While I was in Rapid City, my focus really was work. With that, that just took me away from maybe some other priorities. Other priorities being, you know, getting some faith and getting, you know, getting my heart of stone to a heart of flesh. And then upon having the kids and knowing I had things to improve. Moving to Sioux Falls was just a very important time for myself and my family. Upon moving to Sioux Falls, my family went to five or six different churches and they all enjoyed Central, so I went along with them. They asked me to come, so I went. And I had been getting a little more interested my first time of being at Central. I wanted to come back. Coming back week after week after a year and a half of being there, I've specifically learned just a lot of quality things that have changed me as a person. I mean, more patience, more kindness, you know, trying to live with more grace. I've always been a pretty good guy, but when you don't have faith and then you find faith, you realize there are so many more ways that you can improve.
We moved to Sioux Falls less than 2 years ago, and it was rough. And before that, my dad was one of those people who only came to church on like Easter and Christmas. Since we found this church, and we've just been going all the time. And my dad, he got baptized last time, and he's also a big influence on my life.
I still screw up a lot, unfortunately, but you know, I'm a lot more cognizant of the things I watch, the things I listen to, how my overall actions influence others. So work has always been easy for me to come and really put my full effort in. So it really wasn't the work part of my life that I needed to rehash, redo, rehabilitate. It was the home part of myself that I had to work hard at, and that's the reminders of, you know, Jeff, yes, absolutely, but everybody else that speaks and everybody else that's on there on Sundays are continually try to help remind you to just be a better person. Central's really helped me sort of change how my focus really does need to be to be a better home Bryce. The work Bryce, pretty refined. The home Bryce, getting refined. Previous to being at Central, things were what I thought. Things were good. I was fine. I was a good person to people around me. I was a decent dude. And there's a lot of people that are like me, maybe like my older self. I'm still transitioning, but more like my older self, where it's, hey, I'm better than Tom. I do things a little better than maybe Jan or Betty. But until you really put your heart out there, until you really try to improve that home life through faith, through Christ, through following the word of God, trying to feel the Holy Spirit, it's very difficult as a human being to just see yourself and judge yourself the way that you should to really try to improve yourself. And I would certainly challenge all you good dudes out there to really try to be a leader for your family. Try to get yourself to church. Try to find more faith and strengthen that part of your life, because it's truly important.
It's pretty powerful. So I haven't really interacted with Bryce a lot, but I got to interact with Sage before she got baptized. And to hear the impact her dad had, it was something I'll never forget. So that just gets me so excited.
Yeah, it's a great story. So back in 2015, our campus became debt-free through the generous giving of this congregation, multi-million dollar debt that was resolved. And as we neared that point of getting that debt paid off, we began to pray and ask God, what's the next step? And we became familiar with statistics that were startling to us, statistics that had to do with the next generation, things like kids that grow up in the church, not kids outside the church, kids within the church that grow up in the church, graduate from high school, 60% of them don't come back to the church. We were losing an entire generation. 60% of those church kids left for college or went to work and didn't come back. And if they did, it was years and years later. And so we felt like we needed to shift those numbers, and we needed to gain the next generation. And so we came up with a plan, a 10-year plan called Next Gen in 10, reaching the next generation in the next 10 years. We're 4 years into that, and we've made some really incredible strides. We realized we had to staff for that. We had to add staff in order to reach the next generation. Adam Barrett was already on our team, and we felt like he was the person to give leadership to this next generation department. And Adam, we've seen some incredible things, and we're really blessed with your leadership. Tell us about what God's doing in that area.
Yeah, so our next gen team goes from children's all the way to college and young adult, and our team's about developing the upcoming generations to promote greater ownership, not only in their individual faith, but mm-hmm. also ownership in the local church.
Yeah, that's right.
And so, like Jeff was saying, there's this great need for churches to come alongside these upcoming generations and to step into that and come alongside. And so research shows, though, if we're really serious about reaching the emerging generations, if we're really serious about creating a dent in the trend that we're seeing, it's not flashy stuff that we have to do.
Right.
But it's about coming alongside the kids, students, and young adults. And this is a huge emphasis for our next gen team. We're about finding adults who want to come alongside of these kids and students. But it's not easy because it requires adults getting messy relationally when maybe students don't want to hang out with them. It requires giving time when we really don't think we have any. And ultimately, it requires us giving our lives in hopes that they become closer to Jesus. And ultimately, this is what makes us excited about Next Gen, is because we really get it, we believe, disciple these kids. And that's what Jesus did. He came to show us this, and we get to do the same. And that's what makes us excited about this department.
Yeah. So we had staffing in children's ministry and in student ministries, middle school, high school, and we had a huge hole. And that huge hole was in the area of college-age students and young adults. And we knew we needed a champion in that area that would give leadership and really turn that around. And we felt like we hit a home run when we hired Mindy Schweitzer to be our college young adult leader.
Yeah, thanks. So one of the biggest things that college-age students and young adults are facing are these major life decisions and transitions, but they're doing it without the community and the wise counsel that they're used to having. So they desire this high degree of connection with one another, but they're also looking for interactions with other generations, just saying, hey, someone show me the way, because this life can be so confusing. So one of my goals is to help provide these interactions, both the large group, small group, one-on-one with peers, as well as with intergenerational. So we have these families in the church who host college-age students every month for a meal. And just between the services, last service, and the Grand Central, I see this three-year-old boy from one of the families run up to this college dude for a hug because they've gotten so used to having these college guys in their house. So it was just awesome to see. To quote Jeff, that's what I'm talking about.
That's what I'm talking about.
So, So therefore, this is the age group that I just see some of the most potential for the church to step in and be a game changer. Mm-hmm. So for a demographic that experts describe as anxious, confused, self-focused, what a time for the church and believers and for you guys mm-hmm. to step into their lives and instead surround them with love and support and a purpose for Christ.
Yeah.
The potential is just astounding for a church like us to come alongside, not only just college young adults, but again, the emerging generation. And it's so this fall, we're going to see close to 1,000 kids, students, and young adults every week. Hmm. And now some people are like, oh, that's amazing. But you know what? That's not the number we care about. Because ultimately, next gen, we care about the one. Mm-hmm. We care about coming alongside the one, like the 3- and 4-year-old right now who's running around like crazy. But yet there's the adult who's saying, you know what? I'm going to love you. And more than that, I'm going to proclaim gospel truths to you. It's about the one elementary student who sees that baptism and they're thinking, is that a step of faith I'm called to take right now? And walk alongside what it means to profess Jesus as their Savior. It's about the teenager who's seeing this faith from their parents, but then they're starting to wrestle with, is this something that I want to truly do and define who I am? It's about the college student who literally in 2 weeks, they're going to be coming through our doors. And it's about the one coming alongside of them when they're missing home perhaps, or they're wrestling with what major and even more, their future, and the question, does Jesus play a part of that?
Right.
For all of these scenarios, it requires people coming alongside of them. The one kid, the one student, and the one young adult. We want to show you a story about one. One student and one adult leader who takes 7 years to invest in him. And we were amazed by the impact, not only just in the student, but beyond. Take a look.
In about 7th grade, I had a couple of friends, Ben and Alex. They invited me to come to Central to join their life group, which was about 6 years ago. A big person that influenced my faith for me would probably have to be Kevin Versteeg, my life group leader. He's always been there if I had any questions.
I've been at Student Central for 7 years, serving as a life group leader, and I've had the same group of young men since they were 6th graders, and just this last year, I saw them graduate. There's two things that I really enjoy about being with these guys, and that's seeing their relationship grow in Christ. But also, they do challenge me to be a stronger leader, too. When Max first started coming, he made mention that he comes on his own because his family, they were raised Catholic. And so they had, I guess, perceptions of what other churches were like. And so when Max said that he was doing this all on his own, I knew there was something real there.
I grew up Catholic my whole life. I went to Catholic schools. Well, I went to high school at a Catholic school, but otherwise I grew up going to Catholic church my whole life. I used to go a lot, you know, with my grandparents and my parents and everybody. We were all big into going to church. We went every week. And I haven't been to church for roughly around 23 years. I had some things that had happened and disagreements, and it just took me that long to get over it.
Well, I've been a churchgoer at Central for close to 6 years, and when you're there for that long, you think, not only do you want to come to church, who do you want to bring to church with you? I wanted to bring my dad to church for quite some time, but I knew that he'd had a previous kind of fallout, some hurt with the church that he started with. I didn't want to push the issue too hard. So that was always something that I struggled with, and then he brought it up that he wanted to come to church one day, and yeah. I was ready to just jump on that as soon as he brought it up.
Max called me on a Saturday, I believe it was, and he told me that he was all excited because his dad was going to come to church with him the next day. And so Max asked me if I would be there too. And I said, of course I'll be there. Yeah.
My relationship with Max, my son, is very good. I mean, he's like my best friend. We do a lot of things together. When I'm in town, I drive truck, so I'm gone a lot. I'm home 2 days a week, and he tries to take those days off of work so that way we can do things. He's the reason that got me started back into church. It's really helped kind of bring me back into the, getting back into the whole faith thing again, and I think it's good to support him.
My dad coming along to church on Sundays has been a really good experience for me. It's really helped me grow in my faith, especially just because, you know, I'm here, I'm experiencing everything, and it's not just me doing it now or just me and Kevin. No, I mean, my dad is here doing it too.
So to be used by God to impact Max, who in turn impacts his dad, that's a blessing. That's a real blessing.
Max has been the biggest influence on me because I could tell you if it wasn't for Max coming here, I wouldn't be there. I wouldn't be doing this. He's really changed how I think about going to church, and Central has kind of wrapped it all up, kind of in a package for me, and really brought the faith back. I'm just excited to go again, and I lost that for a long time.
Wow. Did you see the chain there? A life group leader of 7 years impacting a student who impacts his dad. And his dad, after 23 years, comes back to faith and comes back to the church. So this was Max's dad. And Max's dad, Jim, said, "Max is the reason I'm back." So who is it in your life? It was Max's dad. Is it your friend? Is it your parent? Is it your brother or your sister or someone at school? Who is it in 12 months could be doing a video with you and they're saying, because of you, I'm back with the Lord. I'm back in church. My life has completely changed. So we have time for one more brief conversation with a couple more of our staff here today. In our community life department, which is responsible for not only connecting people to the church, but building them up in their faith. And so when you've got, you know, over 2,000 people that walk through our doors here every weekend, how do you connect them and how do you build them in Christ?
Yeah, it's tough in a church this size because it's sometimes tempting for people to remain anonymous. To just slip in the side door, sit in a row of strangers, and then, you know, get their fill of music and teaching, and then just go on with the rest of their day.
Yep.
But that's not how lasting life change happens.
Right.
And so we try to connect people in four different areas: meaningful worship, meaningful community, meaningful service, and meaningful mission. So it's really about moving people from passive spectators to active participants in what God's doing here. Mm-hmm. And this year we built disciples through a variety of classes and groups. Central U, the Alpha Course, Followers Made, Betrayal and Beyond, the Conquer Series, Divorce Care, Sunday Morning Adult Communities. We also launched some really unique life groups for specific populations, so like one for single moms. And one for families who have adopted kids. We haven't got one for Canadians quite yet. We're working on that. But it's not just about people learning and receiving, but it's about making disciples by helping them learn how to give and how to serve.
Yep.
So one of the main ways that we're able to help people understand the value and the call to service is in our jumping classes. And in those classes, we talk about how Scripture shows us that as Christ followers, we are created for and gifted for and called to, and we're to be equipped to serve and to minister. Because when we become a part of something that's bigger than ourselves and give ourselves to that, then it benefits not only us, but also the church. And so we make a very strong effort to help people that want to be connected here at Central find a place of meaningful service. And one of the reasons we want to do that is because that's our mission, is to connect people to Christ and to the church. And that takes an army of people to do, as you can probably imagine. So earlier this year, when we decided to go to 4 weekend services, we thought, well, we're going to need more volunteers. So in First Impressions Ministry, we put out a call and had over 45 people respond to that call. And they are now pretty much all of them serving somewhere in First Impressions and making a difference every weekend on this campus when y'all come and are part of our service. I just said y'all.
You did.
Yeah. Okay. That's a shout out to my Texas daughter and her family. Okay. But also, the great thing about serving at church is that you meet other people when you serve together, and so you can also find community there. So some people that don't feel like they know people or they don't know how to get connected, when they start serving together, they meet other people and also help us accomplish our mission. So I got this great email from a man who attended one of our jump-in classes and then signed up to serve, and here's what he said. I can't think of a better way to get involved with the church body. When my wife and I started coming to Central, we knew very few people. We signed up to usher, to greet, and to serve communion. None of these required a lot of skills, just common sense and friendliness. All of these helped us get connected, and they were easy to start. I encourage everyone to get involved.
Yeah. There is no Canadian group, nor is there a Lakers support group, to my knowledge, that we can work on that.
We can. Well,
or you might be fired. So, so we're trying to make it as easy as possible for people to get connected, particularly in community and life groups. And so you're going to make it really easy come fall with a new initiative.
True. So you know how when you go out for ice cream and there's like 35 flavors to choose from, and sometimes you sample a couple before you make the commitment to get a triple scooper? We're trying to do that with life groups this fall. There's a six-week sermon series that's happening in September called Formed. And during that series, a whole bunch of new life groups are going to start, and they're all going to be covering that same curriculum. And so it's just really a church-wide effort to give people a taste of what community is like. So there'll be a big area to sign up in Grand Central right after Labor Day. But I also am going to need more life group leaders. And so if you feel like this is something that you can do and should do, get a hold of me. If you don't, I have a very specific set of skills. I will find you, and I will recruit you. So, no, it's our prayer that God will use these new groups to help build disciples who go and change lives. That's what it's all about.
Awesome.
So we're going to take a look at one story of changed lives in the couple that you're going to see on the video, Jeff and Cassandra, and their story of how ministries here at Central and God at work in their lives really made a huge difference.
So I met my husband, Jeff, as a freshman in high school. We got married young, but everything was really good. We were both excited to live together finally after dating for so long. Then over time, obviously, there's responsibilities, and it's no longer you just get a date.
Wanting to provide for my family was very important to me, and new opportunities arose. I was able to start my own business.
And so it just kind of led towards a little bit of separation in the sense of communication not always being great.
Our relationship definitely suffered. We were crossing paths, but we weren't connecting.
Spiritually, in my life, I had been going to many Bible studies with a bunch of girlfriends that I had for years. And so I felt like I had a pretty good, solid foundation. I grew up in a Christian home, so it was always a part of my life in a sense. But I felt my husband drifting farther away. It had always been my desire to do devotions together and pray together nightly or daily or wherever it fit into our day. And that just was something that was always such a struggle.
I did the motions. I was very good about, putting on that Christian face, and acting like everything was good on the outside when internally I knew that stuff wasn't there and wasn't right.
So I knew things were kind of headed in a downward way. I didn't really know what more to do, so I reached out to a Christian counselor, and we had gone together to counseling for about a year and a half.
So going through the counseling that we did, it was an emotional battle for me. Me knowing deep down inside that I had an addiction to pornography, I knew that was playing a role in it. I just was too caught up in myself to even want to admit it.
Then I just had this gut-wrenching feeling that there was more going on. There had to have been more going on, because I just could not get through to him. No matter what I said, no matter what someone else said, just what he wasn't there anymore. Physically, he was there, but emotionally, so detached. While he was sleeping one day, I went out to his semi-truck where he did a lot of his work and found his iPad that had images and stuff on it. And that's kind of what led me to realizing I needed some space away. I moved into Sioux Falls with my parents. Our son was still in school at the time, so we took him out of the schooling that he was in currently and enrolled him at Central CPK preschool program.
It really wasn't until I admitted it and felt the shame of that, that the Lord could really start to work in me and bring that dark side to light.
There was just a breakthrough shortly after I had filed for a divorce where just a part of me just couldn't let go. I just still felt like as much hurt as there was, as much pain as there was, as all the lies, I still had a love for him. I said, I think the first thing that we should do is to go to church together. And he was willing to come up to Central.
For me, feeling connected in and through Central was the online sermons and services. I found myself watching those, going through, we call it our time. I kept finding myself coming back to it each and every Sunday. So when I was building up my business, obviously that took a lot of time away from her and from my family, and I put everything into that. And I had to choose, do I want to choose my family or do I want to choose the ways of the world and the stuff? And thank goodness I chose my family.
So Central was a big impact for me in my faith walk and in just the struggles we had gone through. And it was everything from our kids being able to go to Kids Central and be involved in worship at their level, to me being able to kind of focus on what the Lord was putting on my heart and speaking to me about and learning about Him and His goodness through all this during the sermons and praise and worship. We've even been a part of going to the reveal night here at Central, which was just an amazing experience. I know at one point we kind of just said, like, this is amazing. Can you imagine what heaven's going to be like? Being a bigger church here at Central, they have different things that we are now a part of as well. I go to a class here for the spouse of an addict. It's called Betrayal and Beyond, and that has just been super helpful to meet with other women who have similar stories or situations. And as much as it breaks your heart to realize other people have to go through or have gone through things similar to you, you feel understood.
So another way I was able to plug in through Central was joining the Conquer Series that's offered here through Central. It's really opened my eyes to how checked out that I was in our relationship.
We have a long ways to go. We know that, you know, we're not sitting here today by any means saying we've got it figured out or that, you know, we're perfect or, you know, we're, you know, happy all the time. We are just in the beginning stages of starting our journey back in the right direction. And we know it's only through the Lord's strength that it even got to this place. And so we're just amazingly grateful for feeling like a hopeless situation turned from that to now seeing what the Lord has done for us and in us.
Yeah. If you are a regular part of Central, you are directly or indirectly responsible and contributing towards the outcomes of every one of those stories through your giving, through your prayer, through your service, through your love. If you lead ministries, certainly that is contributing to that. And you may have been sitting here today and you watched the video with Bryce and his family and go, oh, that's really cool, and it gave you a good feeling. And then with Max and Jim and Kevin, it's like, that's really neat, but it didn't connect with you. But this last one did, because it hit home, related to marriage, your marriage, and maybe your struggles. And I just want you to know that there is hope, and we are, as they shared, a large enough church where we can offer enough resources to get your marriage from sick to well, from broken to whole. We can help in that process. And so my prayer is that you in 12 months, you and your spouse, you're that couple sharing about how after you had filed for divorce, you realized God can do something greater. And we pray that in 12 months, you might have a testimony like that one. We're going to close our time by receiving an offering, and then we're going to worship a little bit. This service was in no way intended to pump you up to give a big offering now today. It was more to say, when you give, this is the kind of stuff that happens. So we're just going to receive regular offering. Let's pray together. God, it's because of faithfulness with your people in generously giving that lives are changed, locally and globally. We're grateful for your mercy and kindness. We don't take credit for it. We don't take credit for Jeff and Cassandra and their marriage, or for Max and his dad, or for Bryce and his family. It's a work of the Holy Spirit. We're humble to be able to partner with you, Lord, in the works that you do in people's lives. In Christ's name, amen.